Welcome to the Thursday, August 1st, 2019 edition of the Clemson Dubcast. Summer is effectively over to those of us who owe our living to following this crazy sport we call football, college football more precisely. Tigers taking the field for August camp Friday, late afternoon. So many interesting subplots for the 2019 team coming off its second national title in 3 years. Paul Strelo and I going to be cranking out the content for the entire month of August leading to the Thursday night opener against Georgia Tech. Never a better time than now. This is the best time of year to be a subscriber to TigerIllustrated.com.
Title sponsor of the Clemson Dubcast, Harm Smith Arch and Hole Law Firm in downtown Greenville. They have been with us from the very beginning. Blake Smith has been a good friend of mine for years, dating back to the days when he taught a law class at Clemson with Terry Don Phillips. Also, Brooke Arch and Hole, major Clemson fans. The forte of their firm, which is at 15 Washington Park in Greenville, is medical negligence. They represent patients and their families in medical negligence actions. Also handle all sorts of other personal injury litigation. Free consultations for Harm Smith and Arch and Hole. Give them a call, 864-990-4585. Or go to parhamlaw.com.
Quick word about Uptown Realty LLC, headed up by Patrick Enzer, former sports writer who decided to get into the real estate game. Uptown Realty, locally owned and operated out of Sumter, but they serve the Eastern Midlands and PD area with the buying and selling of homes, commercial properties, and land. They also offer affordable new housing in the mid-$130,000s from a local custom builder. Patrick is the sole owner and broker in charge. Grew up in Anderson, going to Clemson games, been in Sumter for 15 years, loyal Tiger Illustrated subscriber, loyal Dubcast listener. Website is uptownrealtysc.com. All right, it's unofficially football season, but we are squeezing in a little more college basketball with part two of our interview with Brad Brownell from recently. He sat down with us for an hour and a half to talk about all manner of topics. Part one, really interesting. Part two is the same. So here we go, the remainder of our conversation with Brad Brownell.
Even after losing Shelton, Marquise, and Elijah, you were, and before the Jonathan and Clyde's injuries, you were kind of quietly really optimistic yeah. about the pieces that you had and the depth, I guess, of your lineup. Yeah. Can you sort of share?
Yeah, I've been, it's just, I like the guys in our program. I think we have really good kids that work extremely hard and want to be coached and are improving and, just do things right. And, every time you lose, I mean, one of the great things about sports is when somebody leaves, there's another guy that gets an opportunity. And you hope that kids put themselves in positions to when that opportunity presents itself, that they're ready to take advantage of it. And, I know we lost four starters and 4,000 points and I don't know how many rebounds. I mean, a lot. And they're all good players. And I appreciate what that last senior class did for our program because they, over the last 3 years, we've had a good three-year run, three postseasons. Obviously, we'd rather it would have been two NCAAs and one NIT than the alternative. But those guys with this building have taken us, begun to take us to another level. And that's why we got some of these other guys. And I really liked our team. Amir Sims is very mature. I think he's a good player that can play multiple positions and is going to have some advantages at center that he didn't have it at the four. And that's going to work. We're going to figure out ways as coaching staff to put him in a position to make that difficult for other teams. Jonathan Bear was a 6'10", 215 or 20-pound front court athlete that's just different. He can block shots. He can run. He can move. Now, he still has to get used to playing at this level consistently. I don't want to make him – but they're just – he's a different kind of animal. He's just – I mean, he's a big old giraffe out there, and there are a lot of teams that don't have a guy like that. And he can do some things. And he's hungry. He sat out a year. We've watched him get better. We've watched him work. And there's something to be said for that. And then obviously we felt like Clyde made good strides as a sophomore, and now with even more opportunity as a junior, he's going to take another big step. And while it looks like we're losing everything, we liked our freshmen coming in. We feel like Hunter Tyson, John Newman, Trey Jemison are improving. And I just felt very good about the depth of our program, the hunger within our guys, and our ability to coach them. And I thought we're going to surprise people. Like, we're going to be – everybody's going to think we're – the sky's falling and we're fine. And for the next couple of years, you know, we're going to try to keep this thing rolling. And obviously now we've been handed another difficult situation with Jonathan and Clyde. But I still like all the pieces we've got. I love the experience that we just gained from going to Italy. You know, hopefully we're going to get Jonathan, maybe Clyde, back at some point. And, you know, we're going to have to hold the fort till we can continue to get the depth we need. But, yeah, I was obviously was very excited about this team and still am.
Any sort of timetable on those two?
Probably still too early to tell. I think Jonathan, we're hopeful maybe in January. But I think it's still a little too early to know. Clyde's actually having his surgery today. This morning, had it this morning.
So Clyde, probably you need some good fortune for him to make it back this coming season. And I guess you seemed excited about sort of pairing Jonathan and Amir, sort of versatility and different things you could.
Yeah, almost like two forwards as opposed to a traditional center. Mm-hmm. You could play those guys away from the basket. We could mismatch and try to take advantage of situations we see that we think, you know, are going to really help us. And, you know, Amir's big and strong and maybe not quite as bouncy, and then Jonathan Bear is long and thin but extremely bouncy and active. And the kind of guy you could do some different things with defensively because of his length and size, you know, trying to maybe play a little different occasionally, do some zones or presses or extended defenses. That's still stuff we've got to come to grips with.
So without Jonathan and Clyde, it's like everybody has to play well for you guys to – I think that was what you said last
year. Yeah, I think it's one of those deals now where you're, you know, like what we had to do a little bit. As I thought Amir and John Newman probably played well in the six games we played. They probably played well in five of them. You know, other guys, it was trying to figure out, Tevin Mack played good in these three. You know, Alamir Dawes played good in these three. Nick Honor played good in these three. Curran was good in these two. Chase was good in these two. Alex Hemingway played good in this one. Hunter Tyson played good in these three. Trey Jemison was good in these two. And it's kind of like, it's not easy because as a coach, you're trying to figure out, all right, is this the game that this guy's going to, you know, can he play well in this game, or how's it going, and why is he off to a good start, or why is he really struggling, and maybe this game doesn't lend itself to his skill set, and what can we take advantage of? So there was a lot of that going on over in Italy. And that's, you know, I think it's hard. That's the one thing, and I've told, you know, Amir more than John Newman because he wasn't ready. But Amir, like, the whole thing now is, like, it's great to be this guy and have these opportunities. And now, you know, Marquise Reed has been taking 14 shots a game for 2 years. And now somebody else is going to get to take 13, 14 shots a game. But if you take 14 shots a game and you make four, we're probably not going to win. Like, do you understand the responsibility that comes with being a high-profile player? Like, you need to understand that when you get to play 30 minutes – and you take the most shots on the team, or you're the point guard and the ball's in your hands the most, and you're the decision maker, if you don't play well, it's hard for the team to win. So there is that's the growth process that does, like, Amir's going to go through that a little bit this year. And you're going to be marked. You're going to be guarded harder. They're going to game plan for you because you are taking 12, 13, 14 shots. You're not just taking six. And so now things that you do, they're going to try to combat that. And then you've got to be able to react to that and make good decisions. And so there's, you know, John Newman's going to be in that. That's a major coaching emphasis for him when we get back, is him understanding, you know, he was clearly more athletic than the people we played against in this tournament. But now that he can't just rely on his athleticism, he's got to rely on his basketball IQ. And we've got to coach up his basketball IQ to make better decisions. That's, you know, big part of going forward and having success is guys continuing to build on that and understanding the responsibilities that come with being the high-profile player. Everybody wants to be the high-profile player. Everybody wants to go to media days. Everybody wants to talk to Larry Williams after every game. But when you're that guy and you don't play well, it's hard for your team to win.
How do you see point guard evolving over the next couple months?
Well, I think a big thing is just, you know, does Nick Honor get eligible? If he does, then I think Nick Honor and Alamir Dawes, we just sick them. That's kind of what we did in Italy. It's just, hey, guys, you know, we – you know, Nick is a little more of a safer singles and doubles hitter, and Al is a little more home run, but there's an occasional out that comes with that. Some bad decisions that come with it because he's playing fast and he's trying to figure it out. But together, they're a nice little combination. They're a nice little combination of guys that, you know, they really don't need to be out there more than 20 minutes right now. Like, that's – those guys both get to play 20 minutes. That'd be terrific, and that's about as all they can handle. And go play your tail off on a game. When you're having a really good game, you might play 26 and the other guy plays 14, but – the other day, he may play 26 and you may play 14. And I think that was one thing I was really pleased with our players, is that happened in a lot of games and it happened to a lot of players. Again, John Newman and Amir Sims, probably the only two, not as much. Amir for sure, maybe even John once or twice. And there was no complaining. There was no complaining about coming out. There was no complaining on the bench. Like, why is coach taking me out? Hey, just put another fresh body in there. We got to get into their legs. We got to wear them down. We got to – you're going to go back. Just take a break. Get ready to go. You know, stay focused. And I thought our kids did a phenomenal job of that on the – especially older guys. Like for a Curran Scott and a Tevin Mack to do that, to take that role was good. Really, really unselfish.
So in the ACC this year, you'd be reasonably comfortable with Dawes and Honor?
I mean, you have to be.
I'm just curious what you think, how they stack up.
I mean, they're going to have good days and bad days. That's just the nature of the league. You're playing against elite players. But I like them both, you know. And I mean, people have to under, they have to be reasonable in expectations of, like, you're throwing a freshman out there and a sophomore. I mean, like, who are not, you know, experienced and but they're good players. They have good talent. They just need experience. They need to get used to it. But they've never played an ACC game. They've never been asked to do all the things that they're going to be asked to do. We need to understand all that. And one thing that's going to be a little bit hard is, you know, when you do have a Marquise Reed that, you know, just jumps up and makes a couple shots to take the pressure off everybody, you know, that's not going to be as easy for us. Like, we struggled in the Ukraine game in the pool play, we're up 58-44 with 6.5 minutes to go, and we don't score the rest of the 6 minutes. No baskets. We win 58-57. Now, we were trying to score. We had a lot of open shots, but it got tight, and we didn't make them. And we had a couple bad possessions, and then we get an open one, and we'd miss it, and then you could feel the pressure. And so there's going to be some moments like that. But hopefully, you know, again, our guys are – they're going to get better. They're going to be better from this experience. They're going to have, we have film to show them, and their energy and effort. Man, we took so many charges, and guys were diving on loose balls everywhere, and just it was, they were a fun team to watch, and it's certainly a great team to coach.
Who's the next option at point guard?
Curran Scott, or maybe even Chase Hunter. I don't know. We've got to kind of. Curran played a few minutes in a couple games over there. So,
I don't think I've ever seen you as angry as you were in the press conference after the NC State game, ACC tournament.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the microphones picked up you saying this is going to cost us a NCAA trip, with some distance from that now, what are your thoughts on how some of those late game situations went? Do you think sometimes Clemson doesn't get the benefit of the doubt that more established programs do?
I'm not going to come out and say that we don't get the benefit of the doubt. You know, at the end of the day, you got to make some of this is you have to make your own luck. You got to make your plays. You know, we obviously didn't just lose that game because of a late game situation. We had a lead and didn't play very well in the second half. Some guys on our team lost their poise. But certainly, you know, there was a lot of emotion. I'm a much more passionate coach than sometimes even our fan base realizes. I think I do a good job of trying to manage that while I'm coaching most of the time. But, you know, in practice and locker rooms, and I'm pretty demanding and not afraid to challenge guys and to, you know, fight. I certainly want to fight for our guys at every situation. Obviously, the last play, you know, it was a hard last play. It was a frustration. We were all frustrated because it was the end of a – we knew that when we lost that game, we weren't going to the tournament. And we just felt like, hey, you know, we were good enough to go, but we didn't get it done. And, you know, there could have been a foul call on the – with 6 seconds left when Clyde put two hands on him. There were some things that, you know, didn't have to come down to that last one. So we thought there were some things that had gone on in the game that weren't as good as could have been for us, but at the end of the day, we had chances to win the game. We didn't get it done. It's us.
If you run a business that conducts credit card transactions with customers, you got to learn about Tandem Payment. Credit Card Processing Company has offices throughout the Southeast, but the one in Greenville in the upstate, headed up by a 2005 Clemson grad, Tandem's technology allows business owners to offset their credit card processing costs by applying a small customer service charge to each sale they make. Tandem has an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau and was awarded the Better Business Integrity Award in 2013. Check them out at TandemPayment.com. Over the 10 or so months we've been doing the Dubcast, we've developed a great relationship with the folks over at the Abernathy Boutique Hotel. In addition to being a great meeting spot for our interviews we conduct with local personalities, it's also a fantastic place to stay. The Abernathy is rolling out a loyalty savings program for 2019. After your third stay, you'll automatically be rewarded with an exclusive offer. It can be applied to future reservations for the remainder of the year. 15% off rooms, 15% off food and beverage at Taps Bar and Cafe. Learn more at theabernathy.com.
What is next that basketball needs resource-wise, if anything?
There's no, like, major need. There's not one thing now that we have that or don't have that we don't feel like that keeps us from doing the things that we need to do. You know, I think it's just the consistent effort by the administration to show that basketball is really important here and that we're going to keep doing things. You know, and that's part of the reason why I'm such a strong fundraiser. I mean, this trip, like, cost a lot of money. Now, the reason we were able to take this trip is because I fundraised a ton of money. And we have it in a separate fund and there were, you know, 10 couples that went on this trip with us that are all significant boosters that I spent a lot of time with on the trip as well. I think that sometimes is the only thing that occasionally I've gotten frustrated with. I don't think some folks clearly understand how much time I've spent in my 9 years here trying to make Clemson basketball as good it can be in every way possible. And the amount of dinners, lunches, one-on-one meetings, golf outings, visits to people's homes, making people feel welcome, trying to promote our program. I know that I'm a big part of why we got this building built. and why we're able to continue to do things for our program for it to be better. I'm not waiting for other people to do it for us. Aaron Dunham and Ipte has worked with me hand in hand the last 9 years. I think people would be shocked to know how much time I've spent in that over the last 9 years. Even in this trip, like every night, every single night, I'm with donors for multiple hours, hoping that they're having a good time. And, you know, the fact that we have people that want to go, 10 or 12 couples that want to go to Naples, Italy with us in this experience and spend that kind of money and, you know, support our team. None of that happened 10 years ago. None of it. Zero. No courtside seats, no club seats, no people giving extra money like that. And so, you know, we don't go on this trip. This trip isn't even possible if we don't have an enhancement fund that has a lot of money in it to help pay for it, supplement it. Because it basically did supplement. It wasn't other extra IPTE money. It was basketball money. So we have money to do things, but we've got to continue to make sure that we're, you know, continually looking for things that we can do to make our situation just a little bit better. I don't think there's anything that we drastically don't have. But I do think this, there are a lot of people that don't realize we have a really nice facility, but there are better. And the ironic thing is most of the better ones are at places where, you know, their basketball tradition isn't as good. A Nebraska, an Oklahoma State, like places that are tough to recruit to, that maybe they have big football like Nebraska or whatever. There's not as many players, so you got to kind of wow people and help with facilities. So, you know, we just got to keep being forward thinking with that. We got to keep providing the kind of experience that our players know is going to be first class. That's one of the reasons why this trip was so significant. It's why we've made other foreign trips. You know, but we've come a long way. We've come leaps and bounds. And that goes back to what we talked about a little bit, maybe it was off air, of just, you know, the 20 months that we were not in our building was a bigger sacrifice than people realize. It wasn't one basketball season. It wasn't a 6 month basketball season. It was almost 20 months of not having Little John Coliseum, a place to go, a place for your guys to get shots in, the best practice times, the best way for your program to improve. And we made that sacrifice knowing that it was going to lead to better things, but it's going to be hard. And it could be detrimental in the 2 year period that, you know, because of the end of a season, the fall, the spring, the workouts that go with that, you're going to be affected. The amount of times your guys can go shoot extra. We knew that was going to be major challenge, create some really logistical nightmares, and also it would even hurt recruiting a little bit initially. But obviously what we've got in place after has been phenomenal. And Dan has done an incredible job in his time here of, you know, really pushing the envelope for facility enhancement in all sports. And obviously IPTE's done a great job of working to continue to raise money to do it. And obviously you see the success that comes with it. Obviously led by Dabo and their crew. But there's no question that when I first got here, we weren't thinking in that manner.
Just for clarity, when you say people don't realize how much you've devoted to fundraising, you're talking about the average fan per se,
administration. Administration knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. It's time, because it's, you know, it's friend raising first, then it's fundraising. You know, I mean, it's, and so you've got to build relationships with people to have them give significant money. And again, like, you know, I'm very passionate about Clemson. I love it here. My daughters are both students here. I've said this multiple times. I'm honored to be the coach here. I'm proud of what this school is all about. I appreciate our administrators. I appreciate President Clements, Dan, everybody that's involved with with athletics here, and I think we have a great sell. Our academic support is off the charts. We have great, good facilities. We're, you know, it's a really great place, and I'm really proud of being a part of making it that way. It's better than when I got here. Now, I still would like to have been to one or two more tournaments. That's on me. We got to get that done. But I also, that's part of many years ago when we talked about how just there's been a lot to go into all of this. And I think the amount of hours that you have to spend working at it when it's not people's natural inclination to just give the basketball. They give the basketball because they get to know you and they like you. And then they're like, all right, let's give the basketball. Let's get behind those guys. There's a need there. You know, the natural instinct is to give the football and the, you know, what, even maybe some baseball to some degree in certain ways, which is great too. But that's taken a lot of time. And again, it's helped us create this environment, which I think now is a good one, a really good one. And I think that's part of why you're in the last couple of years, you're starting to see us, you know, recruiting better players, and we have a really good sell now. And now we just need to consistently win at another level to try to take the next step.
The average Clemson sports fan spends 365 days a year thinking about football. How many days a year do you think the average Clemson fan thinks about basketball?
I don't know. I mean, there are some out there that are huge basketball fans. I mean, I love it. When we're playing well and Little John, I mean, our fans support us. I'm not. Our fans want to. When we put a good product out there, our fans are going to come out and support us and make Little John an incredibly difficult place to play. You know, we have to do that. There's no question that, that's what Clemson's known for, is football, and that's fine. It's, you know, I'm a huge Clemson football fan. Man, we watch all the games. I mean, we're there on the side. If we can't be there, we're watching at night. Sometimes we watch with our team. We watch with all of our neighbors. I don't miss any games. I'm a huge Dabo Swinney fan. I love their coaching staff. I love all those guys, what they're about. That's part of why I love Clemson. I think it attracts great people, and I love being around great people. And, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm doing our part. You know, we want to do our part as a program to be well thought of and to have the kind of respect from our fan base and administrators and other folks that that some of the other sports have. And we're working hard to do it.
Again, talking about the casual fan here, basketball fan, you know, this time last year, a lot of optimism after Marquise and Shelton came back. Is there anything a message you'd like to convey to them that, you know, after the way the season ended, maybe they're like, oh gosh, you know, maybe they're dispirited.
I understand. I understand. I understand being a little dispirited. I mean, we all had higher hopes. I mean, you know, Dad will be the first to tell you that every season's different, though. And just because you went to it, you know, the one thing I would say, you know, a little bit is, hey, now we've only been to, what is it, 4 Sweet 16s. So, you know, let's try to get back to another one. But understanding how hard that is for Clemson basketball, I think that's a realistic view that you got to have. And we did lose 2 outstanding players. You know, sometimes people forget, and Dante Grantham's with Oklahoma City Thunder right now. And I understand, he wasn't there at the end of the season, but we were 16-3, I think, with him. And that kind of got us the really high seed, put us in the position to hang on at the end of the year when we were kind of it was hard. I mean, the first game we played without him, we got beat by 40 or 30 or 30 by whatever it was, by Virginia. And then we kind of reevaluated some things, and Gabe DeVoe became Bobby Buckets for, you know, 2 months and or 6 weeks or whatever it was. And, you know, we'd go on this incredible run. And obviously losing those guys was really hard. But, you know, last year's team just didn't get it done, and we were good enough to do it. And I think that's what hurts, is it's not going to be that way every year. You're not going to have a Marquise Reed every year and Elijah Thomas You're not going to have four senior starters. And so when you do, we all want to take advantage of that. We're like, man, this is it. We got a chance to go back to back. We got a chance to do. And when that doesn't happen for whatever reasons, you know, we're disappointed, and we should be. And I'm more disappointed than probably anybody, and feel responsible. And but that also doesn't mean the sky's falling. You know, if 20 win seasons at Clemson are bad seasons, then Clemson basketball is doing pretty good. And we gotta. That's not what we aspire to be. We aspire to be better. But I do think, like, we have to be realistic about our history a little bit, and just like, hey, we are building. That's why I was so excited. I still am about this team, but like, obviously, the two injuries are gut punches, because, you know, you just like, man, we can. Nobody thinks we're going to be good, and we're going to sneak up on them all. Like, our program is better. Like, we have more depth. We may not have the couple of elite guys. We may not have an all conference guy this year, but we're going to, you know, maybe our 8 and 9 are going to be better. Our 10 is going to be better. And now we got to figure it out. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's a very difficult league. I remind people, it's hard to be consistent. It's hard to stay. I mean, there's about four or five schools right now that are clearly, you know, Virginia, Duke, North Carolina, Louisville to me are like, I mean, they're just elite level programs with unbelievable tradition, money, resources, and we're fighting with all these other folks to like continue to get move up the rung consistently. And, you know, we're hungry to do it, but it's a hard battle. It's a hard battle every year.
How does a 20 game ACC schedule change your non-conference scheduling philosophy?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Nobody knows what this is. That's one thing too. Just, you know, winning 20 games is going to be even harder. Having a better record is going to be harder. You know, when I first got in the league, it was 16 league games. So you had whatever that is, 11 or 12, maybe even 13 or 14 non-conference games that you could try to help schedule some other things. You have to be careful not to kill yourself in the non-conference. There's going to be an occasion when maybe a home-and-home series is going to go away. You know, we play the Big Ten Challenge, and then we play South Carolina every year, so that's 22. And then you're trying to also have X amount of home games every year for your season ticket package. That's almost like the other five games, and that's about it. Now you're doing a tournament somewhere, and your schedule's kind of what it is. You know, one thing we've tried to do the last, really most of the years I've been here, but especially the last 3 or 4 years, is we've really tried to schedule some mid-major teams that are, you know, really good. Lipscomb won the NIT, you know, very easy, won their league, should have probably been the NCAA team. UNC Wilmington, when Kevin Keats was there, they were top 30, like RPI, went to the NCAA tournament. Louisiana Lafayette, like, you know, we're trying to do that again this year. I think Yale's coming. Colgate made the tournament. They're coming. So we've tried to schedule some good teams in our non-conference. People probably don't know them unless you're a real basketball fan. But, you know, trying to put ourselves in a position where our net, that's why the frustrating thing was, last year, you know, our net is 33 or 35 or whatever it is, and NC State is 33 or 34. And we're looking at teams who have a net of 70 that are getting in the tournament on an at-large. And it's a little bit like, you know, I think I've had 2 years here where I've had either 500 records in the ACC and we haven't made the tournament. I think 1 year maybe we didn't have a very good non-conference, but last year was okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad, 10-3 or something. But it was almost hard to believe that with a net of 33 and 35, that they're going to take people with 65s and 58s. And we were heard so much about this net. And I it's still like a little bit a dartboard where you don't know what it is that the committee, you know, they need a reason to keep you out, they're going to keep you out. That's just like, whatever, if you give them a reason, you know, like our thing was, we only, I think we were 1-10 against quad ones. I get that. Like, that's really hard. But, like, our quad, some of our quad ones are, they're not quad ones, they're like quad super ones. They're national champions. They're the, you know, number one seeds in every, in the tournament. It's like, I don't know. It makes it hard.
I forgot to ask you about Jemison. He looks really big.
Yeah, he's a super kid. Yeah, he's 6'10 and a half, 260. I mean, strong as an ox, big as a bear. I mean, he's a big man, and he's just got to continue to work to develop his touch, basketball IQ, but he's got very good competitive spirit. He's got size you can't coach. You know, if he can, he had a very good game in the last game of the tournament. We want to keep on him about rebounding. He needs to continue to work to rebound. You know, it's funny, like that's one, I like to have a guy like that in our program. We have 13 scholarships. I like having one guy that's 6'11", 7 feet, 6'10", 260, like just a big, strong bull that can hold your position. You don't just get physically manhandled at times. Now, he's not excuse me, he's not ready for major minutes yet. You know, most people don't realize he had a knee injury out of high school, and he didn't even start practicing until November, sometime in November last year. So took him a long time to kind of catch up last year. But man, he tries hard, great kid. I'm excited for him.
Where do you want to see Newman and Tyson make the biggest strides this year?
It's consistency, you know. It's just consistency. It's you know, Hunter's got to make shots consistently this year. He had a couple games where he did last year. Comes in there, he's got to, you know, he's had to get stronger, and he has, and he fights to rebound. I love that about him. It's one thing we saw in the recruiting, that even though he was thin and weak at the time, he wasn't afraid. And there were a couple rebounds he got over in Italy that were impressive, in traffic, you know, guys hanging on him, and he fought in there. He's just, you know, he needs experience. He needs more strength, but he's coming. He's coming. He hit 5 threes in the game against Ukraine the time we beat him, and then we needed him. John Newman, super athletic, just, you know, becoming a better basketball mind, just, you know, being able to slow himself down to make the proper decisions. Because when you become a good player like he is, you know, he's going to get to the point where people aren't going to allow him to get to the basket, and now he's got to make decisions. And if he can make really good decisions, now he's making other players better, and now our team has a chance to be good. If he can't make those decisions, the longer it takes him to make that, the harder it's going to be for our team.
The newest supporter of the Clemson Dubcast and winner of the Clemson Area Chamber of Commerce Business of the Year Award, Founders Federal Credit Union. If you've been to a sporting event in Clemson, you've probably heard about Founders already. They are the official credit union partner of the Clemson Tigers, and all Clemson faculty, staff, and students are eligible for membership, as well as IPTE members. Matt Gross is a proud Clemson alum and the vice president for the Clemson market for Founders Federal Credit Union. Membership at Founders has many benefits, great rates on loans and savings products, advice on investments and insurance products, and even a Clemson debit card available for any Founders member with a checking account. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by the NCUA. If you're in Clemson, stop by and see Matt and his staff, 680 Old Greenville Highway, Suite 300, right next to the Walmart Neighborhood Market. Big supporter of the Clemson Dubcast is Harris Flooring America. Based in Anderson, South Carolina, Harris Flooring has been instrumental in a lot of the facilities transformation you've seen on Clemson's campus lately. From the Allen Reeves Center to the McFadden Building to Memorial Stadium to the Neary Center, family owned and operated since 1947, the owner, Scott Junkins, big Clemson guy. Harris Flooring is just as good inside the home and the residential realm as they are with the larger scale commercial stuff. Give them a call 864-642-6183 or online at flooringamerica-anderson.com.
The energy on defense seemed really impressive. Is that something you think, I guess, without, you know, a hobbled Shelton, that you think you'll be able to push up?
Yeah, that was obviously part of, you know, what was hard with last year's team. Two things: we just weren't quite as deep. Marquise was playing 34 minutes a game, so he probably didn't have quite the juice to be able to do that over the course of a season. And then Shelton's hobbled, so we can't really – that's not fair to ask him to do that. That was impossible. So we lost some – now, we were still a very good defensive team. I don't think people – I think we were second in the ACC in efficiency on defense. So the reason for that is Elijah Thomas. So I think people need to understand that. Like, Elijah's ability to block shots, his ability to defensive rebound, his length was a huge presence for us the last couple years. There were times he frustrated me, but there's a lot more things that he probably did for our team that people don't always realize, that he helped cover up some things. That's where we're missing Jonathan Bear. We don't have the length. Like, Amir's strong, and he'll be able to hold his position, but he's not going to be able to block shots. And I think sometimes that erases a lot of mistakes, and so that's a little bit of a concern. But certainly our ability with Al, Nick, Chase, Kayvon, John Newman for sure, Tevin Mack. You know, I'd like to have said Clyde Trapp and Jonathan Berry. You put like that. That's part of what had us so excited, is we have all seven of those guys. Wow, like we can get out there and bother you, like we can be a little bit more like almost one of my first team here, where we picked up full, and we even played Xavier Anderson, who was a walk-on, and played him 7 or 8 minutes a game because he was such a good on-ball defender, you know. And I think that's still what we're going to have to do, even though we're a little bit short initially.
Is there any sort of timetable on the waivers?
I don't know. No, I don't really know. This is my first time to kind of go through that. So I would assume we'd find something out here in August.
The obstacle of so many gut punch close losses, when you have so much turnover, so much newness in the program, is it something you address? Does it make sense to it? Like,
no. You know, one time Amir said something in a kind of an off way during a trip. And we kind of, Coach Buehle and I kind of got him quickly and brought him over to the side and said, none of that. It was just a little bit of a negative connotation to something that he said. And, you know, something about bad luck.
Mm.
And it was like, stop right there. That's not what happens here. And we're fresh. We're starting new. And that doesn't do anything to help us. And you need to flush that from your memory. We're making new memories. And he got it, and it was good, and he was a phenomenal leader, you know, but it was something that obviously, you know, stuck with him a little bit because last year was so hard. And I think what was so hard about last year is it wasn't one thing. It wasn't like, I got asked a couple times, like, well, you know, Coach, what is it with the close losses? What can you do to – I mean, it wasn't like we, you know, the NC State game – you know, we didn't make shots in the tournament. We didn't make some shots down the stretch. You know, foul a guy at the end, we lose on a foul. NC State, we have the lead at NC State, and they're pressing us, and we handle the press every time. We never turn the ball over one time in a 7-point lead, and one of the school's best all-time free throw shooters misses 4 free throws. Like, I've never seen anything like it. He made 9 out of 10 in the game, too. Like, it's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, it's like, that's the guy I would have put on the line 1,000 times out of 1,000. you know, obviously a tough no call in the Carolina game. There's, I mean, I don't really don't want to relive them anymore. Yeah. Just there was a lot of different types of things that happened in games that it wasn't like, you know, I know Chris Mack was catching some heck because of the Duke game where they turned it over a bunch against the press. And then we played them shortly thereafter, and we pressed them at the end, and we got them to turn it over and almost beat them. We get a shot in that game blocked at the rim. I mean, we steal the ball. We're laying it in to win the game, and the guy comes from out of bounds and blocks it. Our kids play their – I mean, we got down 6 or 7 with a minute to go, and we – somehow we're stealing the ball and going to lay it in like we did everything right. But their guy made a great block, and we lose that game. And it was like – so it wasn't – that's what made it so frustrating. It wasn't you could just like, all right, we're going to go correct this one thing. You know, like Chris Mack was constantly, he and I are a friend, we talked about it, like, hey, I got to constantly figure out how we're going to handle this press. Like we just, so you just, it made it hard on the players, I think. It made it hard on all of us because it wasn't one little thing we think we can fix. And then that's when you kind of, you know, sure it creeps in guys a little bit of like, hey, not meant to be, but I don't think we approached it that way. I thought our guys played hard. I thought we did, you know, we put ourselves in all these chances. And the crazy thing is if that guy doesn't block that shot at Louisville or if Marquise makes a couple of those free throws, we win those games, we're in the tournament, it changes the whole outlook on Clemson basketball. Now they've been to 2 tournaments in a row. Maybe we get in the tournament, we win some games. You know what I mean? Who knows? That's how crazy and I mean, that's our business. So having said that, that's why you got to just kind of keep your head down, and if you think you're doing the right things, you got to keep doing them.
From the outside, it didn't seem like that not meant to be feeling creeped in until real. I mean, maybe the NIT is that.
I don't think our players felt like, because I think we just kept, you know, we knew, I mean, we had enough, we were winning games we were supposed to win, and it's just like, my God, if we could just get one of these other ones, you know what I mean? Like, we beat Virginia Tech at home, whatever, but, like, we need one or two of these other, like, we just get one, hell, then we might get 2 or 3 more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're right there. Like, we're playing all these good teams. The only game we played terrible, you know, really terrible all year was Duke, at Duke. And I was so mad at us. I was not happy. And I was upset at halftime, and maybe I coached a bad game because I jumped them, and they didn't respond in the second half, and we actually went in the tank. You know, and it's funny, Virginia beat us handily at home. But when you go back and watch the film, like the film was like we played pretty well in certain areas. Virginia was just really, really good, and they had a big kid come in the game, make a couple threes off the bench, and it, like, changed the whole game. And, you know, they're hard to score against. We got good shots, and we didn't make them. And, but I say that's because what I'm talking about is, like, all the other games were right at the wire, and, like, so your guys are, like, you're taking it to the wire. It's just, that's how good this league is. This is a good league now. I mean, we had 9 teams inside 35 of the net. I don't know if we had 3 of them, were they 1 seeds? Maybe North Carolina and Duke might have been 1 seeds with Virginia. I don't even remember. I try to forget all that stuff. But, like, you got 3 overall 1 seeds.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of like part of it is, like, that's where you're scratching your head a little bit. Like, holy cow. But
anything we haven't covered that
my gosh.
Anything I've missed?
Can't think of anything. My goodness, you.
Making up for lost time.
I know. I haven't seen you in a while.
Thank you.
Good to catch up.
All right. Thanks to Coach Brownell for joining us. I guess that was a couple of weeks ago for that extended conversation. Which we do once a year. It's become quite a fun ritual over the summer. All right. Now we turn our focus 100% to football. Stay tuned for a big day tomorrow, Friday, on opening day of August camp, and then far beyond that, all throughout camp and then thereafter. Tons of coverage at TigerIllustrated.com. Thanks to our sponsors, all 6 of them, for their long and loyal support. Most of all, thanks to all you listeners for making this a part of your routine. Coming up on a year of doing this. Been a lot of fun. Everybody have a great rest of the week and weekend, and we'll be back next week. Cheers.